Wildfire Concepts presents Seven Figure Furnace, digital marketing discussions with internet-made millionaires, with your host, Cindy Donovan.
In this episode, number 17, I talk with Jonathan Van Clute, who has been online since the days of BBSs and rotary phones, starting in the late 70s and early 80s as a child. His interest in paid traffic was sparked late 2007, where he went from kicking around ideas to dominating CPA affiliate contest boards, using paid traffic sources and scaling those to generate an online income. During this episode, Jonathan shares how to discover media sources outside of Facebook and to discern which ones will work and which ones are just going to cost you money. How to bid using counterintuitive methods that will instantly cut your initial cost to next to nothing, and why some clicks are bad for your campaigns, and how to avoid those and hone in on the paying customer. Okay, Jonathan, it is fantastic to actually have you here. So for the people who are listening in on Seven Figure Furnace show today and who haven't heard about you, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? Who is Jonathan Van Clute?
Oh, brother, we're not going to fit this into a half an hour. live in Silicon Valley. Yeah. I've lived here my whole life. I'm a born and bred geek through and through. It's, you know, my dad was a programmer in the 60s. So, I mean, it's as in my blood as you can get. I've been a musician all my life, an electronic musician since the 80s. I've been online actually since the 80s as well, in the old days of the BBSs. And, you know, I literally had a rotary phone and dialed the number up and put the thing on the cradle, you know, the whole deal. Didn't really see anything as far as like money goes from online until eBay came along in like 95, 96, something like that. And my ex-wife and I started selling, it started with My Little Pony, believe it or not, if you remember that. And
My Little Pony's big again.
Oh yeah.
That
was the time frame where it was just about to come back out again. Mm-hmm. But we didn't know that yet, of course. But yeah, my wife just liked them as a kid, and so she saw a chance to started seeing people selling them and thought she could pick up a few, and then she'd find them at garage sales, and then she'd see people selling them for 50 times what she just paid at the garage sale, and went, wait a minute.
Some money there.
So we made thousands upon thousands upon tens of thousands of dollars over the few years' time, including cleaning out an entire store in Amsterdam that happened to, for some reason, have several hundred units of the original toys still in their packaging, in Dutch packaging.
Wow.
We bought every single solitary one of them, came back to the U.S. and made thousands and thousands of dollars off of that batch.
That is fantastic. So how did you make the transition into internet marketing? How did you get online? And today we're going to be talking a bit about traffic. So why don't you tell us how you transitioned into that?
Yeah. It started like a lot of people do with Google AdSense. Mm-hmm. And, back in around 2004-5-ish or so, I started hearing about this thing.
Yeah.
And started kind of looking into it, and I knew nothing of, I didn't know nothing, but I wasn't a programmer. I didn't know PHP at all. My dad had tried to teach me programming for years as a kid, but I had no aptitude for conventional ways to learn how to program, make an address book or whatever, just stuff I didn't care about. All of a sudden, here was something that I cared about. I was like, wait a minute, if I can figure out how to build these pages, more than by hand, because I built a few by hand and, got some SEO and made it, I could make a few bucks or here and there, whatever. But I saw that unless I could scale this significantly, there was just no way this was ever going to become worth the effort I was putting into building these HTML pages by hand. And so I started to investigate automated page building tools, and then I discovered PHP, and I just started figuring stuff out. And after a few years, of course, the early Google slaps happened, and Google started smacking everyone around that was doing automated page generation and killed your rankings, and all of a sudden you couldn't make any money anymore, and SEO was so unpredictable and unscalable that, it just wasn't that appealing anymore. But fortunately, just before I threw in the towel, I discovered AdWords.
Mm-hmm.
And realized, hey, wait a minute, I could buy a click for 5 cents, send it to a page where every once in a while someone's going to click on an ad and I'm going to make a dollar. And as long as I do that, you know, at least so many times, that, you know, I've discovered that was called a conversion rate, you know, and I started to figure out all the stuff involved in that and realized, wait a minute, if you can just buy the traffic, well, you can sort of scale as much as you want, and it suddenly becomes predictable, and I can control it, and I can just turn it up, turn it down, turn it on, turn it off. I like this.
Yeah. So you've done a lot of media buys over the years now. Can you, today I'd love it if you could just share some tips for people that are wanting to get started or who have done some media buys and not exactly massively successful. How can they get started and not lose a ton of money? I mean, that's something that a lot of people do. They dive straight in, they've got a bit of money, and then they totally screw it up, and then they're way more out of pocket than they were to begin with. So,
oh yeah,
avoid all of that.
It's really easy to do that, and I have done that many times. It's been a while now, but my most recent foray. I'm not a Facebook guy. I don't really use Facebook at all. I have an account because, well, you know, you gotta really. But I dove into Facebook ads last year, and this is one of the things in my notes that I'm going to talk about. But I treated Facebook ads, which was an unknown type of traffic to me, like the kinds of traffic I was used to, and I ended up with a $6,000 to $7,000 hole to show for it. That was not fun. That's never fun. So I backed the heck off of Facebook and said, wait a minute, now this is just not fitting me, and kind of went back to the drawing board with other things that I understood better. But that's actually, I put together a list of some notes, and I called this, you know, the 7 deadly paid traffic sins. And in fact, number 7 on the list is assuming that all traffic is created equal. And that's what I did with Facebook. And the fact is, all traffic sources are absolutely not created equal. Just because you found a keyword that worked on Google AdWords does not mean that keyword is going to perform in any way the same when you go and do a banner buy at Site Scout or whatever. It doesn't even matter what platform. It's just, you can't assume that all traffic sources are going to behave the same or even close to the same. You sort of have to approach everything from the standpoint of, this is a fresh test, I know nothing, and I have to just go into it with that, with no expectations, no understanding, no nothing. I just have to run some stuff and get some data. Until I have data, I basically know nothing. Mm-hmm. So that's something to really watch out for, especially once you've got your head wrapped around and kind of have a handle on a particular kind of traffic. You might feel like, oh, I've been done with doing AdWords for a while now, I'm great with paid traffic. Oh, you might find out you're great with AdWords. May not be so great with just general paid traffic.
Right. You know, it all comes down to testing, doesn't it? Because
absolutely.
I mean, we saw a similar thing in internet marketing in general with the Belcher button. I don't know if you saw...
I remember that one.
Yeah, the Belcher button. It was like really big, and it basically happened where, I can't remember who tested it, but he created this button and it was the thing that tested the best. And so
everyone
started using it, and it worked really good for a while. And then people just assumed that's what you use and then stopped testing. And so testing is really, really key at whatever you're doing.
Absolutely. And you might, something like that, you might find that, yeah, it works great promoting ClickBank items.
Mm.
And maybe that's what Perry was doing when he developed it. And so it works great for that market. But now you go to promote something different and it doesn't work at all. And you're scratching your head going, I thought it was the ultimate button. Well, you test.
Yeah.
So another place where it's really easy to go horribly wrong, and I did this early on and I've seen lots of other people do it, is bidding high to start out. People, it's an intuitive, kind of a logical thing. It's easy to rationalize and think, well, this makes sense. Is I want to get some traction. I don't want to wait around. I want to get some traffic. So I know my minimum bid is, let's say it's a penny. I'm going to go ahead and bid 25 cents. And just don't do that. I mean, you might not get creamed. It might be okay. You might bid 25 cents and just get a click or two and you're okay. But you might also find that, you know, you set your bid at 25 cents and before your first data has even come in, you've spent $100 and you've got nothing to show for it. And that's just really not fun. And it could be worse than that even, but traffic can come in so fast sometimes when you're not, especially if you're not yet familiar with a particular platform. I always, the first thing I always ask any rep at any company I'm going to work with is, what's my minimum bid? Mm-hmm. And I start there, the absolute bare minimum. And in fact, I would say sort of a subheader to this is, don't necessarily believe what they tell you the minimum bid is. Because numerous times on numerous networks, they've said, oh, the minimum bid is whatever it is. And just for grins, I see if I can go lower, and it lets me.
Okay.
And I find there are times that I have talked to other people running the same traffic I'm running from the same place, and they're paying, they think they're paying the minimum bid. They're paying twice what I'm paying. And there's still plenty of traffic, even below what they tell you. They'll tell you, oh, you can't get traffic below this. You know, if you've ever run AdWords, Google does the same thing. They'll tell you what the minimum suggested bid is. And you think, oh, well, Google wouldn't steer me wrong. They know what I should bid, right? No, never, ever believe them. Don't take them at their face value.
Well, they're a company. They're out there to make money, too.
Absolutely. if they can convince you to bid just an extra penny or two across
That's
the billion of impressions, I mean, it's a huge amount of money. So, bid as low as you possibly can. You can always increase your bid if you're not getting traffic and just gradually ratchet it up. But if you start out high and get clobbered, now you're starting out from a hole. And that sucks. That is just miserable.
Yeah.
That was one of the mistakes that I made with Facebook was, again, thinking that its bid, the way you bid on Facebook was like the way I bid on other things I had done in the past. And so the net result was that I was bidding way too high to start. And I just didn't understand it yet. So I got clobbered. Another area that's just super, super critical and isn't always easy to do, depending on the traffic source, is filtering out the bad, quote unquote, bad traffic. And bad is very subjective. Bad for you, doesn't convert for you, doesn't give you whatever end result it is that you need to get. I've felt for a long time that there is something that matches any traffic. You know, as long as you've got the traffic, you can find something that will work with it. So it's not really the traffic's fault per se. It's your fault for not sifting through it and figuring out, you know, where's the good percentage, where's the bad percentage, how do I get rid of them? You know, how do I identify what isn't working for me and what is? And you've got to do that, and then you've just got to shut off the stuff that isn't working. And then all you're left is the good stuff.
Okay, can I briefly interrupt? What do you use as far as tools? How do you track it?
I've actually really always used my own tools because just from my earliest days of learning all this, I was in the midst of learning PHP. And at that time in 2006 or 2007, there weren't the plethora of tools that we have today. I mean, there's so many tools for tracking and analysis and everything. And back then there wasn't a whole lot. So I just sort of figured it out on my own and a lot of Excel, lots of time spent in Excel looking at lists of sub IDs and, you know, stuff like that. Mostly I use just my own custom stuff, but there are so many options available now. It's really,
but it's nothing that you recommend.
Nothing I can really think of offhand. I tried a few tools that were coming out in like 2008, 2009, and most of them ended up letting me down one way or another. They weren't granular enough and really let me see what's going on, or they couldn't handle high volumes of data. Some of the early tools weren't really built with the idea that somebody was going to run 20,000 clicks a day through this thing. It was meant for people who were going to do, a few hundred maybe or something. Unfortunately, I don't have anything right now that I use that's off the shelf. Everything is custom. So.
Right. Okay. But at least you're still testing. And
always. You've got to have data. This business is all about monetizing data. And that's what that's the blood of what you do is data. And I always want more of it if I can get it. So another place, in fact, that you can get really valuable data is actually your rep at whatever network you're using. It's critical. I've told a number of people a number of times that a big part of the reason why I had success the years that I was starting out was because I early on developed relationships with my reps at the various networks. And I got it, not all reps are created equal for sure. Just like not all networks are created equal. And, I've had a lot of really crappy reps who really didn't do anything for me and were never very helpful. But there was one network in particular that I used really heavily from about 2008 to about 2012. And there was a rep, the rep I happened to be assigned was just amazing and absolutely understood the way all the numbers interrelate and landing pages and how they impact things. And he got conversion rates. And I mean, he understood it all, which sometimes makes people a little nervous because it's easy to think, well, if he does, you know, if he sees what I'm doing, well, he's going to go do it for himself. And I subscribed to that thinking as well for a good long time. And I still do initially when I first start working out with anyone. Of course, I don't trust anybody straight out of the gate with all my data. Right. But over time, he showed me, and we had several conversations about it, that he loved being a rep. But like he would call me on a Sunday and say, oh, what are you doing? I'm like, oh, you know, I'm just checking out my stats in the middle of an Excel and I'm the blah, blah, blah. And he's just like, man, this is why I would never want to do what you do.
Right.
I come home at the end of the day. That's it. I'm done. I play with my kid. I watch a movie. I go to bed. I have a weekend. I go out of town. I don't have all this credit card risk, you know, because funding traffic. He's just like, I love this game. It's totally me. I love all the numbers and figuring it all out and helping you figure it out, whatever. But I do not want to do this.
Well, it's not for everyone, is it? And this entrepreneurial thing is not for everyone because it means that there is risk.
Absolutely.
And, you know, we are taking the risk, but the reward.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly right.
I could not go back and work for someone having been on the other side now. But, you know, some people love it.
Yep. And it was just, that was kind of a light bulb moment for me when he told me that. I mean, I had already sort of observed that. I observed that he really didn't seem to have any interest in doing any of this himself. And I kind of wondered why. And when he explained it to me, it was like, aha. So, actually, after that, I started to trust him more gradually. And over time, it was the point where, I mean, he had the logins to my systems. And, you know, sometimes he would ping me and say, hey, you know, the such and such traffic source just came online or went down or whatever, you know. And I would just say, hey, can you log into my campaigns and make some changes for me or whatever. He would adjust bids for me. I just basically had him being my little helper monkey doing things.
Yeah,
which was fantastic, but that never would have happened if I hadn't started to cultivate that relationship and really talk to him a lot. And he turned me on to all kinds.
Sometimes we underestimate relationship. Being on the internet, it's quite easy to disassociate yourself from people and from understanding that, you know, it actually is people over there. But when you make that connection with people and it's someone that you can trust, you need to obviously be careful and not just throw everything at everyone. But remembering that it is all about relationships still, even though you might not have face-to-face time with a lot of these people.
Mm-hmm.
Relationships are still where things are at a lot.
Yep. So I've had reps.
Well, sorry, let me just jump ahead here. What other pitfalls and stuff can you lead us in that you...
Definitely. A big one for PPC in particular, because, you know, PPC being pay per click. If you're paying for every click, well, you want good clicks. You don't want bad clicks. And one really easy way to get bad clicks that I know I did a ton when I was starting out, and it seems like what you might want to do is to engage people's curiosity in your PPC ad.
Mm.
Write some really curious sounding headline or use a really mysterious image or you know, engage that curiosity. You get them to go, what the heck is this? I want to click. You do not want those clicks. You don't ever want curiosity clicks.
Okay.
You want clicks from people who know exactly what it is they're clicking on and why they're clicking on it. And you've basically pre-qualified, pre-filtered, pre-sold them before they ever even click your ad.
Yeah.
So you really got to watch out for that. It's so easy to want to be clever and get all excited
because you're getting so much traffic, but they're not the right kind of traffic.
That's exactly right. So none of it converts and you're like, wow, my click-through rate is through the roof. This is awesome.
Right.
And you look at the money and you're like, all I'm doing is spending 10 times what I'm earning. This is not good.
No.
So you really got to be careful with, you know, being a great, brilliant, clever copywriter or whatever in your PPC ads. That's usually not what you want to do.
Right.
But the absolute bar none, by far, worst thing that I've seen people do, and it bit me early on, is related to the filtering out bad traffic, is not passing a sub ID or using some kind of conversion tracking process to know exactly which click gave you the result you wanted, which keyword, what time of day, what browser they were using. I mean, as all the data you can possibly get. So many times I've had people hit me up for support on some of the tools that I've made, products I've put out, and you know, they'll complain about whatever, they're not making money is really the ultimate end result here.
Right.
And I'll ask them for like data just to show me, okay, well, what are you doing? What's going on? Let me see if I can figure out where you're going wrong. And they're not passing any.
Mm.
They're just like plain not passing a sub ID or have it set up wrong or didn't figure out how their CPA network accepts pixels or whatever it is. But the bottom line is there's no tracking data coming through. There's nothing you can do at that point. You're completely blind. You can't optimize. You can't fix anything. Your data is useless.
Mm.
So you have to pass some kind of tracking information with every click of your ad or every load of your page or every action, every form submission somebody does. If it's a list building exercise, you know, whatever the event is that brings them through the start of your funnel, you've got to track that.
Right. So, I mean, it can be tempting to, you get all of your marketing stuff in line and it can be tempting to just avoid having to learn how to do that sort of stuff or just assume that, you know, what you're doing is going to work, but
yeah, a lot of times
the traffic.
A lot of times people do sort of think that like, it's just sort of magic that like things just somehow talk to each other mysteriously, magically. Your server will just know what's going on over there when they click and that everything is just going to somehow communicate to each other. And that doesn't happen. I mean, you have to set things up and it really pays to learn. I've told a number of people, like if I had to recommend the one thing that, you know, will bring you the most online success, you know, something like whatever, I would probably have to say, teach yourself some PHP. I'm not saying go out and become a programmer who's going to get hired at some startup and, you know, start developing web apps, but like learn some basic PHP, how variables work, how you pass information in a URL, these kinds of things make the difference. I've never seen like a super affiliate who didn't know how to do that stuff. And I've rarely...
There's like software out there that can do that. Because I'm not... Yes,
you still have to understand it. You still got to understand how the pieces work together.
Yeah.
So, you know, and if you have absolutely no idea what these things are, like, what's a sub ID? I don't know. How does it work? You're going to be screwed up. Even if you use the software, you're just going to mess it up. Really valuable.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
So, another thing, this actually came from one of my early mentors in paid traffic is a guy by the name of Gohar Chaudhry. And he would always say that keywords are like lottery tickets. And so if you want to win the lottery, you need a lot of tickets.
Okay.
And it was like, you know, that I never really thought about it that way. But then it's like, yeah, you know, the more keywords you have, the more potential traffic you can bring and the more potential conversions you can get if you've got a landing page that resonates with that traffic and if all your other pieces are in line.
Mm.
Ultimately, it becomes about, I need lots and lots of keywords. That's not always a great place to start from, because if you just go, it's easy to build keyword lists these days. You know, it's easy to get a list of 10,000 keywords on whatever niche.
Right.
And that can be completely overwhelming. It's just too much information, too much data to start with and so forth. So it's a good idea if you can to start out with just the higher volume keywords so you don't waste a lot of time on stuff that isn't bringing you any traffic. But eventually at some point, once you've kind of got things humming along, you've got a landing page that's working or a product that's converting or whatever, you've got yourself a little funnel built, you need to scale. Well, your scale when you're buying traffic is usually going to come down to, I need a lot more keywords.
Mm.
And if you can do that, if one guy is running 10 keywords and you can run 1,000 and you can actually track them all, you're probably going to be able to bring a lot more traffic than the other person. Not always, but definitely there's a lot to that idea that your keywords are simply your lottery
tickets. But the key here is that you need to be able to track each and every one of those keywords.
Yep.
So you've got to have something set up so that you know which keywords are the ones that are bringing you the actual sales.
You got it.
Which the ones that aren't.
That's exactly right. Yeah, I mean, a million keywords without tracking, useless. And tracking without keywords, equally useless.
Right.
So you got to have it all.
Okay. That's cool. Do you have anything else that you would like to share?
Sure. So speaking of actually this, I didn't intend for this to all kind of tie together so orderly, but it does. You know, when you're testing keywords, that's one area where it pays to understand certain things about risk. For example, if I'm going to test, if I have one keyword and I have a target ROI for my campaign that I need to make 2 to 1. If I spend $1, I need to make $2. That's my ROI target. Well, then for every dollar I spend, I have to, and if my offer pays, let's say $5, I'm running something that's going to pay me $5 per lead or conversion or whatever. Well, 2 to 1, that means for every $2.50 I spend, I have to get one conversion. Mm-hmm. I got to make $5 every time I spend $2.50. Okay. So now I know how often I have to convert. Yep. So if I'm going to test one keyword, I can spend $2.50 on that keyword, and then I better see a conversion. Mm-hmm. If I don't, well, then I know, okay, I'm already not hitting my ROI goal. I sometimes, when I'm first testing something, I'll go ahead and let it lose a little bit while I'm fine tuning things and optimizing whatever. But in general, you got to pay attention to that, because you can, if you're spending $8 to make $5, well, yeah, you're getting conversions, but you're losing money. What's the point? But where that really starts to get complicated is that's one keyword. I can spend $2.50 to make $5. Okay, great. Now, if I want to run 10 keywords, well, I have to test to 10 times that volume. Now I have to test 10 keywords at $2.50 each. I'm going to spend $25 and I better be making $50. Mm-hmm. If I'm going to test 100 keywords, I got to be willing to spend at least $2.50 per keyword, $250. I have to be willing to have a test budget of $250. Otherwise, I'm not giving these keywords basically the room to move, room to run. Where that becomes really problematic is sometimes it's really attractive to look at offers that pay a lot. So somebody will look at an affiliate offer that pays $100, a mortgage lead or something like that. It's like, oh my God, $100 a lead. Holy crap. This is, you know, you can't go wrong. Well, but think about that for a second. That means you need to be willing to spend $50 per keyword. Right. If you want a 2-to-1 return, and you've got to have a conversion within there. So if you've got 100 keyword times 50, you've got a $5,000 budget now you've got to be willing to spend in order to properly give this the room to run that it needs. Mm. And if you want more than a 2-to-1 ROI, if your personal comfort zone is, well, I want at least 3-to-1, well, then that changes that relationship. If you're willing to take a lower margin, then that changes it as well. But you need to understand the interrelation of your costs and your potential revenue and understand what the real risk is, because if you've got, like I said, if you've got 100 keywords and you're going to be spending $50 a piece on them, and you look at that and say, well, that would be $5,000. I'm not willing to do that. I'll just spend $50 and test this. That's meaningless. It's just a waste of money. You'd be better off just flushing $50 down the toilet, because you're not going to get any value. You're not going to get the amount of data you need out of a $50 test. Mm. So you got to understand up front what you're getting into, what it's going to take in order to get the data you need, and then do it. One pivotal kind of earth-changing moment for me in my early days of trying to do CPA marketing, like around 2006 or so, was when all of a sudden it clicked that if I run some traffic and it's not profitable, well, I didn't just lose money. I bought data.
Okay.
I just paid money for data, and now I need to look at that data and analyze it and do something with it and make it useful. And that changed everything for me, because all of a sudden the internal psychology and that feeling in my stomach when I'd hit go on a campaign and watch it start spending, and I'm getting all nervous and antsy and, oh, come on, where's the conversions? That all went away, because I realized, no, whatever, I'm going to buy $50 worth of data. Mm. Simple. It's in my mind, it's like going to a store and buying something. I'm not antsy over the price or is this going to be as good as I just paid the money, and am I going to like this or whatever. It's just, I walked in the store, I paid down, you know, I put my product down, I pay my money, and I go. Mm. So that's the way I started to look at running test campaigns, was buying data. And yeah, okay, admittedly, I might have to buy quite a bit of data before I get what I need. But when you do get what you need, when something finally hits, you know, oh yeah, okay, I spent $500 or $600 over the last few days on tests, and it didn't pan out. And then finally one does, and suddenly I'm making $1,500 a day.
Yeah.
Take it back in no time, but you've got to stay the course and be willing to buy that data and know what to do with it after you've got it.
Exactly. That's what I wanted to ask you. So what do you do with this data? So you buy this data and then it's not converting to something. Do you just switch it to something related, or you change the ads, or what do you do?
All of the above. It does depend a bit on what you're seeing. For example, if I was doing a PPC campaign to a CPA offer, let's say that I see the PPC ad is getting a lot of clicks, but the landing page is not converting for those clicks. Well, I kind of see one of two scenarios there. Either I'm getting the right clicks coming in, but the landing page is not resonating with them, so I need to do something there to make it match better for them, or I'm getting the wrong clicks in the front door. So I would try to look at my ad. I would probably start with my ad because it's a lot easier to change an ad than it is a whole landing page. So I would start with my ad and look at it and just say, okay, if I look at this ad, am I engaging curiosity? Am I filtering people out? Am I pre-qualifying in my ad? Am I making sure that no one in their right mind is going to click this ad unless they actually want what I'm offering? Right. If the answer is no, if I see, oh yeah, it's kind of a cryptic ad, it's kind of mysterious, you know, then I'm probably going to start with changing the ad. Say, all right, I need to, this ad needs to pre-qualify the heck out of every single person that comes by. And you know, I don't want anyone clicking who isn't crystal clear on why they're clicking it, what's going to be on the other side. Mm-hmm. Once I feel like I've got that, if I've still got lots of clicks coming through and they're still not converting, then the likely culprit is now the landing page. So that starts to get really complex. You're split testing headlines, you're split testing placement of images, you're split testing the images themselves, you're split testing so many different things. And of course, you really have to change just one thing at a time. Mm-hmm. You can't go changing 27 elements.
Right, because you don't know.
And then if it works, you don't know why it works. Mm-hmm. So that becomes a whole complicated monster in itself. But
we might have to save that for a different conversation sometime.
Oh yeah, that's split testing is a monster, but it's critical. You got to do it. So yeah, depending on what you see in the data will help to direct you on what thing you need to tweak.
Right. Well, that is fantastic. Do you have any last minute? We're going to have to wrap it up pretty soon. Sure. Do you have any last minute advice that you can share for people who are just starting out or have, you know, want to dive into media buyers a little bit more?
Sure. Definitely know when to pull the plug. Don't fall in love with an offer. It's so easy to see something and just be convinced that this can't lose. This is an amazing offer, a product or whatever, especially sometimes if it's your own product, you know, but even if it's not, you're an affiliate or whatever, and you just think this thing can't lose. Let the data dictate what you do. You have to do that. You know, if the traffic just doesn't like what you're presenting, then present it something else. Mm-hmm. You know, if you've got a good source of traffic, then it's your responsibility to find out what does that traffic want. You know, there was a technique that I used to do that was called throw and stick. It was a technique that Goer kind of illustrated to me. I ended up calling it splat testing because basically it was you throw a whole bunch of stuff against the wall and it goes splat. And you
see what sticks.
What sticks, exactly. And so what I would do is I built a rotator of my own, a URL rotator, and I would load up literally 100 CPA offers across every vertical, no rhyme or reason, no niche, no, not, I didn't care because I never wanted to assume that I knew whether something was going to work or not. I don't know. I don't have data yet. I have no idea. So just throw it all against the wall. I would funnel a big stream of traffic through it. And quite often, the most surprising thing would jump out of that and work gangbusters. And then I would just shut off the 99 offers that sucked. And yeah, okay, it cost me $50 or $100 to do that for an hour. But then all of a sudden, it's converting like crazy. I'm getting hundreds of leads a day and easy. So if you find the traffic, you got to figure out what's going to work for it.
Assume that you know what's going to work.
That's exactly right. And don't fall in love. And if something is working, don't assume it's going to work forever because it won't.
Awesome stuff. Thank you so much, Jonathan, for your time. And thanks for joining us on the show. I've learned a lot of stuff from you. So thank you so much.
Hey, no problem. Anytime. Happy to talk to you again.
All right. Take care, man. Bye.
Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Thanks for tuning in to the 7-Figure Furnace with Cindy Donovan. If you like what you just heard, please share our web address, wildfireconcepts.com, with your friends and colleagues. To catch our previous podcasts packed with more insight from self-made millionaire fire starters, check the archives on our website. This has been a Wildfire Concepts production. Join us again at our next edition of 7-Figure Furnace.